listening to the Infatuation Podcast. I really appreciate each and every one of you tuning in to this little show, so thank you so much for listening. Today we are joined by actor Yvonne Chapman. Yvonne has been acting in television and film for almost 10 years. She starred in Canadian shows like Street Legal and Family Law. And you might have seen her in 3 seasons of CW's Kung Fu as Xilan. In February 2024, Yvonne hit the screens as the larger-than-life Kyoshi Avatar in the live-action adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender. It is my pleasure to welcome Yvonne Chapman to the podcast. Hey, Yvonne, how's it going?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours. We are excited to have you. Where are you calling in from today?
Vancouver.
Oh, Vancouver.
Based in Vancouver, yeah.
Okay, okay. What's the weather like right now? Is it warming up a little?
No, it is it is pouring rain as Vancouver does. It was beautiful the last 2 days, and today it's like, nah, it's fine. I'll give you a taste of spring and summer, and then I'm going to take it away. It's kind of cruel that way over here. Yeah,
I'm in San Francisco. We're kind of similar. You know, we have all these false springs. You know, it gets to be 70 one day and then back down to 50 the next day.
I love San Francisco, though. It's such a beautiful city.
Yeah, you know what? If you're going to compare two cities, I think Vancouver and San Francisco are pretty similar in some ways.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, for sure. I think kind of like sisterly cities, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to say sisterly cities.
Sisterly. And not just weather, too. I think culture-wise, it's kind of similar.
Yeah.
I saw a cool picture of you with some friends of ours, friends of the podcast. It was at the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. And we had Amy Park on our show, and we've talked to Leah Lewis and you, and it was like all our favorites in one picture. Is that cool?
Oh, I love them so much. Those two women are incredible, and I'm happy to call them friends. I'm very fortunate to call them friends.
The nicest, right?
The greatest, yes.
All right, so let's see. We like to greet our guests in the Asian way. So, Yvonne, have you eaten yet?
I have not, and I'm going to. No, that's okay. It's good, because I ate a lot, as I do, and I like to do, late last night. So this is me being, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'll get hungry like later. It'll be fine. But yes, right. Thank you. That is a very Asian way. Have you, that's so much love. Have you eaten yet? Yeah.
No, and it's deeper. It's a deeper question than it sometimes comes across as. So, we like to ask that one.
For sure.
Could we dig into your roots a little bit?
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what's your ancestry?
My ancestry, it always sounds strange because I know my last name is Chapman. It is my maiden name. And I get this question a lot. it's going to sound weird, but I give accurate numbers. So I am 7/8 Chinese, pretty much.
Okay.
1/8 French. So my grandmother's half French. My dad's a quarter. I'm 1/8. And then that still doesn't answer the question because then people are like, well, Chapman's not a French last name. Fair. I'll talk about my last name because I think it's a funny story, but I didn't know my grandfather very well because he passed when I was quite young. So, and it wasn't until I actually got into the film business that I knew that he, as a hobby, he loved producing movies. He had theaters in Hong Kong. Mm. I had no idea. And then when I found out how we got the last name Chapman. So the story is my grandfather was doing a co-production between, I think, the Philippines, Japan, and Hong Kong. And when he went over to the Philippines, phonetically, his name kind of sounds like Chapman. And, you know, back in the day, too, when you want to do business in North America as an Asian person, you typically want to change your last name to something Western. So they called him in the Philippines, like, hi, Mr. Chapman. And he's like, that sounds good. I'm going to use that.
Sounds legit.
Yeah, he liked it. And that's how my last name got to be my last name. We adopted it. It was before I was born that he changed his last name or, you know, used it coming into the country. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. But culturally, you pretty much identify as Chinese.
Pretty much Chinese. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. And grew up in Calgary?
Grew up in Calgary. Born and raised in Calgary. Moved to Vancouver. It'll be 10 years. It'll be the big decade this September.
Wow. Yeah. There's kind of, like we just talked a second ago, there's kind of a little TV and film industry in Vancouver, yeah?
Oh, huge. We call it Hollywood North up here.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. Massive.
Alaska Daily was shot there, and then
Yeah.
Avatar. Most of Avatar shot there?
All of Avatar, I think,
All
was
of it.
shot here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
And
for season
then,
one.
what about Kung Fu? Kung Fu was.
Kung Fu was Vancouver. I mean, pretty much
Yeah.
everything I've done has been Canada.
Huh.
Yeah, but Kung Fu, Avatar's here, Superman was here, all of
Wow.
it.
That's cool. That's cool. All right. So, Calgary, I don't know much about Calgary. Not quite as diverse as Vancouver, but there was some diversity. Yeah. Did
Oh
you connect
yeah.
your culture a lot in Calgary?
Yeah, I was fortunate. I mean, from what I saw growing up in the neighborhood that I was in and the school that I went to, was pretty diverse, you know? Like I saw a lot of kids and had a lot of friends who looked like me, or were, South Asian or Caucasian or whatever. So I was lucky that I grew up in an environment that was pretty diverse. So it was nice, yeah.
Okay. And then I heard a story. I don't know if this is true or not. You can back this up.
Sure.
Were you in a high school play and you didn't even tell your parents about
Oh. Well, the thing is, I think it was junior high and
Okay.
high school I auditioned. I didn't get in to some plays, but I auditioned for them. I don't know if my parents knew. I don't think I told them. I didn't see what the point was until I got it. But in junior high, I did do a play. I don't even think I told my parents I auditioned for it. My parents, like, as long as I got good grades, and did the thing, like, and they knew that, it wasn't something that I was like seriously pursuing at the time, or I, wasn't really in my thought or lexicon at home, the language at home. So, I don't think I told them. I think they knew, and I don't remember if they even saw it. So I can't even cooperate, but I don't th like I pretty much did do it in secret. Like I just didn't really say or talk about it very much.
But was that the start of it? You get a little bit of an acting bug by
I
doing that
loved
little thing?
it. Oh yeah, I loved it. I always loved it in a sense of like I was such a shy kid growing up that but for whatever reason, going in front of a camera, being on stage, it just felt so much simpler to be. And then the second that goes away, I was just so shy. And even to this day, like I don't do well in huge crowds. I find them almost, too much for me. But that's where it kind of started, is I felt really comfortable.
But the good Asian kid in you decided to study finance in college, or what was the decision for studying in college?
Okay, I tried everything.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, I actually thought, I'm like, maybe I'll be a lawyer. I like the
Okay.
idea of being a lawyer. That never happened. And then for the first 2 years of university, I did biosciences, thinking that I'll be a doctor.
Okay.
Hated it. Hated it. I liked the bio part of it. But in university, you have to take like chemistry, you have to take physics and all the other stuff to get that degree to get into and write the MCAT, et cetera. And it just was not my jam. And then I was like, okay, I'll go into finance, I'll go into business. So I remember putting myself through like hell for one summer during university. I think I was taking like, oh God, like six courses to get my prerequisites up so I can apply to business school. And I remember taking like caffeine pills to do it. Like it was crazy. But then I went into business. I went the finance route. I got out of that and then was doing like accreditations outside of that to like pad my resume. And then I decided to become an actor. So I tried.
No, I mean, you did more than try, right? You worked for several years
I
in mergers
did.
and acquisitions,
I
yeah.
did. Yeah.
Hey, I have a far-fetched MA question for you.
Sure.
Okay, since you're in the industry too. So someone suggested that Apple should buy Disney.
That Apple should buy Disney?
Yeah. Is that super far-fetched? Like just think about that for a second. Like, 'cause Apple's always wanted content, right? Like Apple's
Yeah.
always trying to get content. Apple TV is, making a little bit of content here and there, and Disney is struggling a little.
Okay.
Would there be any scenario that this could happen?
Well, okay, I want to preface that I'm far out of this world right now. I don't really keep up with
This is for entertainment purposes only.
totally. Well, okay, I don't think it's out completely out of the realm of possibility. I don't see a world in which they're going to buy Disney as a whole. That is ridiculous. I mean, like Disney's bread and butter, in my opinion. That's never what they're known for is their experiences, the theatrical
Right.
parks, et cetera.
Yeah.
Apple's
Yeah.
not going to do that. It's not within
Yeah.
even in a vertical integration that I don't think would make any sense. So
Yeah.
if they are going to buy, it would be a portion thereof and it would have to make sense for their business model.
Yeah.
So that is a very generalized answer for that. But if they were to buy Disney, I don't think they would buy the entirety of it.
Yeah.
That would not, it
Yeah.
would have to be a merger rather than a natural acquisition, or it would just be, yeah, a portion of their business that would actually make sense.
That'd be pretty wild, though.
Yeah, it would be pretty wild.
All right. Well, enough of that. Enough.
No,
Okay, so
it's fun to talk about.
So you're working, and was the acting bug always there? Were you doing community theater, or were you doing any commercials or modeling while you're working?
I was doing a lot of modeling. I actually took some time off from university between what was I doing? I think I was in business school at that time, and then I took some like a semester off. I went abroad, did some modeling over in Hong Kong. Did some commercial work. And then even before then, I was doing modeling and commercial work for some time over in Calgary. So the acting bug was definitely there. Some performance element was definitely there. Luckily, modeling would have me, and I found it a really good way for me just again to break out of my shell, and to get comfortable in front of a camera again. Yeah, so it went from, the commercial work, and then I took an acting class while I was working, like properly out of university and working as a stress relief, because there was a lot going on. I enjoyed my work a lot, but it was just a lot with studying and working, and I just needed something kind of for myself, back to myself again. So I took an acting class, and then I said, oh no, I really like this.
So you do a couple of Canadian shows. It's funny that you were saying you wanted to be a lawyer because you ended up being a lawyer a
I
couple
did. I did. So,
Look, Mom.
parents, I'm on my way. Maybe next will be a doctor. I
I
don't
know.
know. Like, who knows? So,
Who
in some world, they kind of got their wish.
knows? So you do some acting, do some Canadian shows. Do you remember at all the Kung Fu show from the 70s? Like, you're way too
Barely.
young. You're
It
way too
was before my time. I know of the show. I know the
young. Okay.
spirit of the show, and definitely did my research on what it was. But like Kung Fu, the one that we rebooted, is a standalone on its own. It's completely a reimagining of it. But I do think it encapsulated a lot of the spirit of the original, however, in just a very different way. Yeah, so I don't remember very much of the original, to be
Yeah,
honest.
I wouldn't expect you to. No, I actually am old enough to remember it because I grew up in the 70s and 80s. And honestly, as a Chinese kid growing up in San Francisco, and now looking back, yeah, there's some problems with it, the way they did. But for a kid to see anything Chinese on the screen in the 70s and 80s, besides Bruce Lee, right? But that was like, it was a show. It was something that I had a little pride in. I was like, hey, this dude, even though he's played by a white guy, but this Chinese dude was kicking butt. And, it was a very entertaining show. So when I heard that they were redoing it, I didn't know what it was going to be either. So I was kind of like, I don't know about this, but man, what a fantastic show. I mean, it's just so great to see faces that look like yours and, Olivia's and everyone's face, and just the cast and just the storytelling was really fun. Did you hear anything when you were auditioning for it? Did you hear anything that it was going to be like, what was it going to be like, or what did you know going into the audition?
Well, so when you audition for things, it's a little bit, it's a varied. So for this one in particular, you get what you call audition sides, which is basically just a couple scenes, maybe two to three of your character from the script. So that's what you kind of gather from it, and they'll give you a breakdown, which means like a breakdown of your character, a small little synopsis, a paragraph of that. And as actors, you look through that and you try to put the pieces together and figure out, okay, what's this gonna be like? And when I first got to read for it, I actually did read for Olivia's role and Shannon's role, and then I read for Jalan. And what I gathered was it was going to be a show about family, which I thought was lovely and fantastic, and as it should be, and it worked out beautifully, because it was reading for the sister, reading for Olivia, then the backstory of Olivia, she leaves her family, comes back, helps her community. So you do get a sense of what the show's going to be like from your audition notes. But sometimes, and sometimes not, you might get the pilot of the episode to read. I don't, it's been a few years now since that time, so I don't remember if I got it. I don't believe I did. The actual pilot of the show, I can't remember. But it was enough to garner to understand what it was going to be about. And yeah, it was great.
But I think from my memory, I know there were sitcoms with Asian casts, but from my memory, this is the one of the, Warrior, of course, but I think this was the first kind of Asian American, Asian Canadian drama, like, hour long drama with pretty much a full Asian cast, one or two non-Asian characters.
Yeah, it's the first one on network television.
So that's really cool. And then, so I don't know if they told you about this when you're auditioning, but it has a little spiritual element too. There's a little fantasy involved. Super fun. And you play Zhilin, who is the villain in season one. Is there something about you think that gets like you're playing another villain in the Superman? So, is there something about you that gives off villain vibes? Like I'm talking to you right now, and you're super warm and super
Thank you.
personable.
I keep getting asked that question. I'm like, I don't know. I guess so. I mean, there's something, I don't know. Maybe I have like a really good resting bitch face. Like, I
Know,
don't
the
know.
cheekbones
I'm
maybe?
just
I don't
joking. I have no idea. But you know what? I'm glad because I love playing the baddie,
Yeah,
especially
right.
one that's like redeemable.
Right.
It was really funny on Superman, because Michael Cudlitz plays Lex Luthor. And there's always a saying on set whenever it's a bad guy, it's like, no, it was just a misunderstanding. He's just misunderstood.
That's like, yeah,
That's
totally, yeah.
all it is. It's just a
I
big misunderstanding. We'll figure
mean, it
it
I mean, in the case of Jalal, I think it is a little bit, right? Because there is that redemption. Like, you have one of the best arcs, right? Yeah, the character arc
I loved
coming
it.
from, your family at the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's all in the writing. When you can give a character that has an actual backstory, so the person, whether it be me or anybody else playing them, knows why they're doing what they're doing. There's also a really great saying. It's like, what is it? Heroes, both heroes and villains get hurt. Heroes don't want anyone else to get hurt. Villains want everyone to hurt how they've been hurt, but it all roots in a similar, origin, so to speak, and it's just how people deal with it. So in understanding that origin, it's very human.
No, I mean that's life, right? Like there are no good and bad people. There's people who make bad choices and people who hurt other people, but everyone is human, right? So
Everyone's human, yeah.
Was this your first action show?
It was. Yeah, I have never done stunts on that level before, but it was a lot of fun.
You're a little bit of an athlete though, or a dancer, or
Yeah, I grew up playing a lot of sports, which definitely helped, in the choreography of it all. And I like doing, recreational Muay Thai and then just keeping up with, certain physical activities. So when it came to it was a steep learning curve regardless, because it's an entirely different movement. My brain was working in an entirely different way, but the stunt team was so phenomenal. They're really great teachers. Yeah, I can't say enough about them. So, and very patient.
it's really, really fun. Did they now, I don't know if they told you, but was Jalen supposed to be in all three seasons, or did they kind of say, well, you know what, let's bring this kid back for two more seasons after season one?
When I got the role, it was a recurring guest star. So my impression of that, which means, I'm not a series regular. I was in most of the episodes, but it was just because I thought I was a villain of season one. And then as shows do, you bring in a different villain for season two, maybe. I had no idea what the plans were beyond season one. So when I was asked back, it was a great surprise, and yeah, really thankful for it. But no, I didn't know. Maybe they knew, and I didn't. I don't know.
Nah, that's cool. That's cool. Now, I think in the last, if I recall correctly, the last scene is kind of like a 5 months later montage, but we don't see Jalan in the last five. So what do you think, in your speculation, what do you think she's up to these days?
I think I would ho this is what I hope for her personally, is that one, she was able to let go of all of the anger, the sadness, and accepting her sister's death, spoiler alert, at the end, and able to try to live life in a different way and see what life looks like for her now that she's not completely consumed or focused by revenge or trying to do right by her sister or somebody else, but like, what does life look like for her and who is she now? And it would be funny to see some form of her doing everyday normal things because we never get to see that of her.
Maybe she's pre-med, you know, maybe
yeah, maybe
she's taking
she's
nursing
living out
classes or something.
nursing classes. Oh
Okay,
my
maybe
God,
not. Maybe that nurse.
that'd be hilarious. Just a medical spin-off.
Right. All right. So then a couple years later or so, you hear about this Avatar reboot. Not a reboot even. It's a live action adaptation. Did you grow up with this Avatar cartoon as a kid on Nickelodeon?
I did watch it, and I'll be honest, like I couldn't remember a lot of it, so I definitely rewatched it, but I loved the show. I loved
So
it. I'm
good,
a
right?
fan of, oh, it's so good. I'm a fan of it. And actually, getting to rewatch it later on, it was like rewatching the whole thing again. It was such a delight because as an adult, you understand things a lot differently. And the themes of that show, are far deeper than what I, interpreted them at the time as a kid. So,
Yeah, so much deeper. You're
yes.
like, wait, this was there the whole time? They
I was
didn't
like, oh
rewrite
my
this?
God. No, it's fantastic, though. It's
Yeah. And you know what's
mind-blowing.
funny is like I just watched it with my kids, so I'm too old for the early one, but my kids started watching it, and they're teenagers now, so like maybe 5 or 6 years ago they were watching
The
it.
animation?
Yeah, the animation one.
Okay.
And so I was watching it with them, and I'd never seen it before, and I was like, this is really good.
It's
And I
really good.
thought, I honestly thought it was created by Asians.
Oh, okay,
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I honestly thought there was like it was an adaptation from a Japanese manga or something like that. And I was shocked to find out that it wasn't, because there's so many Asian themes and the philosophies and things. So they did so much good research, and it's just really such a great show, the
It's so
animation one too.
good. Oh man, it's so good. Yeah.
So Netflix decides to make it into a live action, which a lot of people, you know, the eyebrow is raised, like, I don't know, it's so hard to take these classics and beloved things and turn it into a live action, but they do it, and it's a winner, man. It's so good. Like, how much did you see before it actually aired? Were you able to see any of it?
Nothing. Well,
Oh,
actually,
man.
the only thing I did see, I saw the pilot at the premiere. So we were all in LA and they did a screening of the first episode. And that was so much fun because we're just cheering and hollering in the theater for everybody. It was just a big celebration. And when I saw that first episode, I'm like, okay, yeah, people are gonna like this.
Yeah, because a lot of your stuff was green screen, right? So you couldn't even see really what you were gonna do.
No, yeah. I mean, the only thing that I saw when we were doing the green screen fighting, like everything in the forest with Aang, that was real. That was shot in the beautiful forest of Vancouver. But the fighting, all of that, what I did see is that they had what they superimposed what it would kind of look like, the fight, on the monitors. So I could, you can kind of see like, okay, guys are going to be swirling around me, but it's all preliminary stuff. So you're not seeing the full effect of everything. So when I saw the full effect of everything, I was really happy with what they did. It was great.
No, we'll talk about your scene in a second. Let's talk about your character for a second.
Sure.
So you play Kyoshi, who was two avatars before Aang. And you were from the Earthbending Kingdom, is that right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you were Avatar maybe a couple, like 100 years ago or so. And are you like 9 feet tall or something?
She's 7 feet tall,
7 feet tall. Okay. Now you're tall, but you're not 7 feet tall. So
No.
you're this character, and they have the amazing face makeup and costumes. Can you talk about that for a second? The costumes and makeup and of your character are so
Oh
amazing.
my God, they did such a great job, didn't they? I mean, yeah, it is one of the most important things for me, especially playing her, to feel like her. And the big thing about the character, in my opinion, too, for Kiyoshi, is that when you read her novels as well, putting on the garments and the makeup for her was so important for her to be the avatar, to feel like the avatar. And that was my interpretation of it anyway, because she would put on these things to feel the empowerment of her power. Like it was almost, it's war paint for her. So it had to, once that was there, everything was there.
No, that's cool. So, yeah, so this show, this your scene, I think that one scene where you just take over Aang's body for a minute and just show him what it really, I think that was a turning point for him, like in terms of the story development. I thought that was really, and then there's the effects, and just everything was really cool about that scene. Do you know if there's any talks about, like, because there's novels, right? There's the whole backstory on Kiyoshi. Are there any talks? Could we ever see a whole series just on Kiyoshi? That would be,
Man, I
I know,
hope
right?
so. As a fan, I definitely hope so. I would watch the crap out of that.
I know. I know.
but no, I haven't heard anything. You know, they're dealing with season two and three
I know.
of Avatar. Thankfully, this is going to
I
be so
know.
good. I'm so excited for the team. So they got a lot on their plate right now, and I haven't heard anything about a Kiyoshi's thing.
Yeah, see, I'm a little nervous when I talk to people because I've kind of jinxed some shows. I interviewed some folks from Brother Sun.
Oh
And we did a show on like Cowboy Bebop, and those shows got canceled. So at least this time I don't have to worry because we've already heard there's a season two and
it's done,
three.
it's greenlit.
Okay, good. Okay, so I'm not gonna jinx it this time.
Oh, the jinx is
All
off. Let's just say
right. Okay.
it's gone.
Good. Good.
Relieve you of it.
Yes, I'm still waiting. I did an interview with someone from the Three Body Problem, so I'm
Oh, so
hoping.
you're waiting. Don't put
Oh
that
man.
out there, you
Okay,
know?
no. It's gonna happen. We're
All
gonna
right.
manifest season two on
Yes.
that show.
Oh, yeah.
But can we talk for a second about my teenage crush, Tamlin Tamita?
Oh, my God. I love her.
Isn't she the
Oh,
greatest?
she is
Oh
the
man.
greatest and so warm and just so kind. I need to gush about her because
Please, yeah, please do.
she, like, I never got to meet her on set. We never did anything together. And when I saw her at the premiere, she is gorgeous, obviously, for one, but she's so loving, like just a beautiful human being inside and out. And it was just really nice to be able to like meet someone who you've looked up to for a long time and have them be a wonderful human being. So, yeah, she's wonderful.
I love hearing that. If you came on here and said that, oh, she's terrible, she's a diva, she's mean, I
Oh,
would have
God.
said, okay, well, this interview's over. Thanks for
Yeah,
coming.
as you should. No, she's great. She's great.
All right. Yeah. No, I'm manifesting that one too. Okay, Tamlin, if you're out there listening, please come on the show sometime. I'm getting closer though. I have a few connections with her, so I'm like 2 or 3 degrees away from her. So I think this could
We'll put
happen.
that out there for you too.
We'll put it out there. Thank you. Thank you. All right. But in the meanwhile, while we're waiting for season two of Avatar: The Last Airbender, we have Superman and Lois, another CW show. So you play another villain, Amanda McCoy, this time. What are you a scientist? Are you a CEO type? What are you?
I am the head of Luther Corps while Mr. Luther was in prison. So
Okay,
I've
all
been running
right.
the company for him, making him
All
money.
right. And you are also arch enemies with the Kents?
Yes. I wouldn't,
Or misunderstood.
I'm always misunderstood. Let's just leave it there. I'm just misunderstood. It's just all a misunderstanding.
Oh man, just a misunderstanding. Do you have a good shoot? Was it super fun?
Oh gosh, it was the greatest. It was the greatest. And like we had our the wrap party yesterday.
Like
Like I
literally yesterday.
literally yesterday, last night,
Oh
I was not obviously I came into the show the last season, so grateful to have this experience with all of them. They've been running for the full four, and it was so emotional seeing the clips of them as a film family and
wow.
everything that they've gone through. I mean, we have to remember, and this was the same with Kung Fu, it was through a pandemic, and then the strike
Writer's
happened,
strike,
and then the CW got taken over. Like they've been through everything, this show, and still came out of it. And it's such a great send-off to the show. Everybody who's a fan of this is going to love this last season. Like I cried when I read the finale because it was just overwhelmingly beautiful, and I think everyone's going to just be so happy.
When does this air? This air's coming up.
I actually have no idea. I don't know. I
Yeah.
think I heard somewhere in the fall,
Okay.
but I could be wrong. That's just the rumor
Hey,
mill.
we've got the internet. We can look it up on our own. So
Yeah, the power of Google.
yeah, so CW, you know what's so wild is that people don't know that these are free. You know, you can have some antennas and just hook it up to your TV. Like kids these days think you have to pay for television. You don't have to. Like
What?
network shows just come over the air for free. You just have to grab them off the air.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Kids these days, they don't know. They don't know.
Man, I'm just paying for everything.
Hey man, so what's coming up for you? You got any new things coming up?
Maybe a potential project coming up soon. I'm not sure. Other than that, I'm just gonna do a little bit of traveling. Be down in LA early May, for an event, and then that's kind of it. Like, and you know, this is the life of an actor. It's just you never know. If you're unless you're really fortunate that you do have stuff lined up, and that's amazing. But you know, most of the time it's kind of like you're doing the auditions. You probably don't hear anything for most of them. But that is the work in of itself, and I really enjoy that. And then you just see what kind of comes your way. Yeah, that's
Do
kind
you
of
like,
it.
are you constantly sending out tapes though? Is it just kind of a nonstop?
Yeah, I've been very lucky, thankfully, that that's been the case because sometimes there are dry runs where, you know, the industry slows down, there's nothing going on. I mean, last year with the strike, there was absolutely nothing, nothing. So it really is all industry timing, whatever dependent, and whatever's out there that's shooting that has, you know, things that are within my grasp. Yeah, it's kind of all a toss up, and it almost feels like you're kind of an on-call employee at all times. You just have to have your phone ready beside you, be like, okay, there's one coming through, you know. Yeah.
I forgot to ask you this earlier. Did you grow up watching anyone? Do you remember seeing any Chinese faces on screen in Canada or America?
I was obsessed with Power Rangers, and I remember there was one Asian Power Ranger. I think she was the yellow one.
I think she was the yellow one.
Yeah, which you know. But hey, I love seeing her and I was obsessed with it. And that is something. And it, you know, kind of going back to what you said, it's like you see a show and it's something that was it resonates with you. Like you said, the original Kung Fu, right? It's not until later that you realize certain things that might have been lacking for you as an adult. And then so that's kind of for me is as growing up, I definitely had like my certain people that I idolized. I do vividly remember, and I don't know if it's because it was such a gaping vacancy within film and TV, but I do remember as a kid watching Joy Luck Club and having that really stick, even though at that time I didn't really understand the themes of it. But I watched it with my mom and my sisters, and I watched it with my aunties, and that was such a thing. And I can't even speak as to why exactly that stuck with me, but I do have a guess, and that's because it's probably something like, wow, I see them. They look like us, you know? And that's all I could really speculate, but it must be true because it was such a special thing. And it wasn't until 20 years later that we got something else, you know?
20 years. But you know what? It's almost as if, like, I was talking to Amy Park and she worked at a talent something or other. And she said after 2018, she noticed a huge, like a noticeable, maybe not huge, but noticeable uptick in parts that she
Okay,
could even
great.
read for, that she could even read for.
Yeah.
You know, and look ar and just looking around, you know, we see Beef, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
So
You see
good.
your shows,
Yeah.
you know, and Brother Sun, like all these shows in the last, it hasn't been that long, 2 or 3, well, maybe 2020 and after, we're starting to see these shows. So I don't know. I hope the future keeps going the way it's going. I mean, we'd love to see you guys in more shows.
Yeah, me too. I think it is. I'm gonna say that because, and I don't think this is a jinx
Yeah, right.
or anything. No, because look, I
No,
think the
it's
proof is in the numbers. And
yeah.
you know, I don't want to bring it back to this, but we're a good business.
For sure.
We
Yeah.
are. And
No,
there's
yeah.
no freaking denying that. Like, you
Yeah.
can't deny something like that.
Yeah.
So we're good for business. I think
Yeah.
diversity in general is good for business, is good for the world. And let's just embrace that. I mean,
Yeah.
I would love to see more shows where, you know, it's everybody coming together. Let's just not
Right.
divide it and be like an Asian show
Yeah,
or that
yeah.
show. Let's just have it as a makeup of a cast, a makeup of crew, a makeup of
Yeah.
writers. It's just diverse, and that's just the new normal.
Yeah,
You know, I don't want us
right.
to be pit against each other in any way.
Right. Right. You know, and I think it's source material too is getting so much better, you know, like just I interview authors as well, and a lot of them have been pitched, you know, a lot of them are getting their rights are getting bought. So I don't know if all of it's gonna get made, but you know, these are Asian American authors, Asian Canadian authors, and they're writing these deep, complex roles, you know, not like the original Kung Fu show or it's one dimensional, but these are three dimensional characters. Like, you know, just thinking back at Kung Fu, you had nerdy Asians, but you had cool Asians, you had gay Asians, you had straight Asians, you had old, young, you know, you had a little bit of everything on that show. And it just shows that, you know, we're not a monolith and there's a lot going on.
I mean, it's the human tapestry of people, and
Yeah.
it doesn't matter
Yeah.
what you look like. You're a human being, and
Yeah.
you can
Yeah.
be anything in this world, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to show that you're not just a one type stereotype of whatever you the world wants to place on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Yvonne, you survived our hard questions. Are you ready for our lightning round?
Watch this be the hardest part for me. Okay, let's
No,
go.
honestly, you know, you don't have to be fast. I call it the lightning round. You could take your time with your answers if you
Great.
like. All
Thank
right, are you ready?
you.
What is the best part about living in Calgary?
Oh, best part about living in Calgary, the affordability. It's
Is
really
it?
affordable there. Well, compared to Vancouver, hell yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is there an American city? I was thinking Denver for some reason. Is there like an American city that's kind of like an analog to
Yeah,
Calgary?
Denver is really close by. And also, I should say, only because I do speak with my family a lot, but also the best part about living in Calgary is to be close to my family. I should
Yeah,
say that.
of
And
course, that's a
I do
given.
really, that's a given. That's why it didn't come to my mind. I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. And aren't you right next to Banff too? You're like
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah, if you've
gorgeous,
never
yeah.
been, please go. It's you
I gotta
won't
go.
regret
I
it.
think we have a few listeners in Alberta. So hey,
Oh,
all you
great.
shout out to Mark and Michelle in Alberta and
Hi,
Calgary.
guys.
Hi guys. All right. So Gilan seems tough as nails, but what is Gilan's soft spot?
Oh,
What can you get her with?
you can probably get her with a good meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so. Yeah, I think that's where she'd probably get super vulnerable and be like, okay, this is nice. Girl just wants to
Like
eat. She never got to eat in the show.
I what kind of Asian doesn't eat? Come on now.
Yes, going back to have you eaten? You
Yeah.
know?
Come on, let the girl have some desserts at
Oh,
least once. All right, how about Yvonne Chapman? What's the one way to get to your heart?
food and a nap. I'm just
Okay.
gonna put in the sleep in there.
All right, yeah. You know, it's the simple thing sometimes.
Yes.
All right, so if you had to guess what is on Avatar Kiyoshi's playlist, what would you think? What are some songs that might be on her playlist to get her pumped up before she defeats the whole Fire Nation? What does she listen to?
Na 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 na. Like that's the first thing that came to my mind, and I think that'd be hilarious if that was just she's just like air punching.
Yeah. No, I can see that. Okay, yeah. All right. No, that's a good
Shadow
answer.
boxing Shadow of
Yeah.
Kiyoshi.
Oh man. You know what, for a minute you were the face of Avatar for a minute.
I
Like
was
that picture of you with the glowing eyes. I
on
think when you
Netflix.
yeah.
Yeah,
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 when you
yeah.
I think for everywhere I looked I saw that. I was like, "Oh, that's so cool."
Yeah, I was.
That
It was fun to see that for
was
sure.
cool. All right, do you as an actor have a role or a team or a writer that you would like to work with?
So many.
Yeah, I
Oh gosh,
know.
so many. I mean, personally, for me, a role, I would love to do some comedy eventually, just for fun, just something different, really lighthearted. But I mean, I do love playing the baddie. God, there's just like I'm really, I gotta say, I'm just really open to everything. It just always comes down to story, like a really good story. There's a series of novels. I don't know if I'd be in it. Like I'm trying to think if there's a role for me in that, but I just love them and I love to see them get made. And I've said on a few interviews, but the Red Rising series is phenomenal. And I would love to see that eventually be adapted. God, there's just so many people.
I
Like I'd
know.
have to give you a huge list of people that I would love to work with.
Yeah, I know. There's so much good stuff out there now. Because it's being made all over, all over. It's not just Hollywood, like you said, huge in Vancouver, in London, like all this cool stuff going on. All right. Well, we're wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Hey, on the last question we like to ask our guests is, who is your infatuation? Infatuation is anyone in the Asian community who you look up to, could be living or to see someone you know or someone you admire from the from afar. Yvonne Chapman, who is your infatuation?
I'm going to be super corny here.
No,
I'm not going to
please.
say it's just one person, but I'm just going to say it's my family. It has
Yeah.
to be. That's my support system. Those are the people who cheer me on. They're also the people who like, doesn't matter what I do, they just know who I
Right.
am. Like that's my core.
And you were, I think you kind of hinted they're from Hong Kong originally.
My dad's side is from Hong Kong. My mom's side is all Singaporean, and I include
Oh.
all of those people in that mix. I love them.
Oh, nice. Nice. Did you grow up with like Hong Kong movies like Stephen Chow or Infernal Affairs or anything?
There's a few of them, that was circling around my house. But again, I was born and raised in Calgary, Cowtown, Alberta. Not a ton of Hong Kong theater there, but it trickled in once in a while in
Yeah,
my
maybe
house.
on a DVD or
Yes,
something.
exactly. Where I'm like, what is this? Well,
Oh man. Hey, thanks so much for spending some time with us and best
thank
of luck in the
you.
future. You guys can follow Yvonne at YP Chapman on Instagram. And of course, go watch Avatar on Netflix. Go watch Kung Fu on CW, or you can stream it on Max, formerly HBO Max. And look for Yvonne in the fall on Superman and Lois on CW. So many good shows to watch. Such a variety of shows, too. So there's something for everybody.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, and as we mentioned, you can always write to us at infatuationpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Infatuation Podcast. We'll put all of these details in the show notes. So until we talk to you again, on behalf of Yvonne and myself, we hope that you're all happy, healthy, and safe out there. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.